Un, dos, tres, va.
Your names?
Sonia Umansor.
Rosa Lozano.
Sonia Umansor, we won't start with your daughter first. We'll start with you. Tonight being the 30th anniversary celebration for CISPIS, which is an organization that started in conjunction with the FMLN, which you were a part of in El Salvador. Can you talk about that organization and the founding of it 30 years ago?
First of all, to be alive 30 years after the big massacres or the war that started in El Salvador in 1980 is really great. I mean, we celebrate the CISPIS anniversary, 30 years anniversary, with a joy, and we really want to point that how important has been the work that CISPIS have been doing during these 30 years. I remember when I was in El Salvador, in 1980, because I came in 1981, and my experience is mostly here, being together with CISPIS, but has been very, very necessary. For me, was like a save my life in save my heart, I think, because that showed me that the terrible intervention in El Salvador from the U.S. was different than the people of U.S. The el pueblo de los Estados Unidos is different from the government who was intervening in El Salvador. Then for me was like a really a big thing to see that people here care about, and people here was able to do, oh my God, really greatest sacrifices. And I know people who has been in jail. I met people who has been broke their legs. I met people who get cut off their legs when they try to be stopping the train where the arm come from, and so many people that I know that I feel proud of being close to them and meet them during all these years, and it's really great for me to be alive first and to be part of that, and seeing that different generation of CISPIS that continues with the solidarity, with the accompaniment of El Salvador.
Rosa Lozano, while you were born in the U.S., you've been working with CISPIS, and talk about your connection to El Salvador and the work of CISPIS.
Well, my connection to El Salvador is through my parents, obviously, who came to the United States fleeing the Civil War that was funded by the United States. And so essentially what I can say is that my connection to El Salvador is through my blood. It's my roots are in El Salvador, and I was born in the United States, but I was raised, to follow Salvadoran culture and immersed in the Salvadoran politics, and was raised with a political formation from that's based out of the FMLN. And so that for me was kind of, you know, my base, my political base. And but it wasn't until, you know, my involvement through CISPIS that I was really able to carve out my political identity as an individual, which is you know, complex. It's both Salvadoran and from the U.S., you know, having been born and raised here in the U.S. in Columbia Heights, D.C. I think that, you know, the combination of the two have made me the person that I am, and I think that it was through the space that was given to me within CISPIS that really allowed me to really commit myself to this movement and to recognize that, you know, it wasn't just something that I was born into, that it was something that I made a conscious choice to be a part of. And I think that CISPIS provided that space to me like it has to a lot of, you know, first-generation Salvadoran children. And a perfect example of that is, you know, this Radical Roots delegation that we constructed with CISPIS, not just the national office, but the different committees all over the United States to really try to carve out those spaces for Salvadoran children born in the United States, and give them the same opportunities that I was given, you know, in an attempt to not just connect Salvadorans with, you know, our culture and our history, but to connect them with the reality of what's going on in El Salvador, to build consciousness. And so that's kind of the same experience that I've gone through within CISPIS, which was kind of, you know, didn't save my life in a literal sense, but it did save me a life of consumerism and really just, you know, abiding to the status quo, and gave me an alternative, and made me realize that there are movements out there that are fighting for something different, that a different world is possible. And that's what I'm, you know, providing to other youth through the work that I've done with CISPIS, and that hopefully will continue to do with CISPIS.
Sonia Umansor, do you still have family in El Salvador?
Yes, I do. My mother and a brother and sister and some far relative. Yes, I do.
Did you lose family during the 80s?
At the war? Yes. Not my brothers, because they have to flee also. But some more far relatives and friends, very close friends and compañeros, and husband of one of my cousins, and teachers, and my fiancé at that time was assassinated.
How many years? You left in 1981 till you were able to return to El Salvador?
I'm sorry.
How many years you had to flee the violence in 1981? When were you able to return to El Salvador?
I returned to El Salvador in 1988. Was 7 years after, when Rosa was 3 years old.
What are some of the things you've tried to teach your daughter, Rosa, impart to her?
No.
¿Cuáles son algunas cosas que usted me ha
enseñado? Oh, my God. I mean, being a parent in the United States was a lot of fear of not to being able to teach my daughter things like very values, but was like a natural thing because we were always together, and since she was little, she learns a lot of different things to take care of other children when she was very small, even 2-3 years old, and also to love the country where we come from. And she used to say Why the other girls are very proud of saying that I am American and I'm Salvadorian, and they are like me. I mean, they come from Salvadorian parents. She was asking, and I said, well, because they don't know exactly what is the identity of them, and that's one of the most fundamental, where is the identity of Rosa, that she really feel connected to El Salvador, and she really feel that is her, is a great responsibility in her part to be doing something for her country, and even, you know, simple things like you know, our favorite. One of our favorite food, frijoles and tortillas, and it made it in a specific way of Salvadorian, was really, you know, thing. But the values and principles of being, you know, somebody who cares about others, somebody who cares about justice, somebody to, you know, care about the what is happening with some other human beings besides us.
You mentioned frijoles. There's excellent food here tonight, including frijoles and many other things.
El Salvadoran.
Rosa Lozano, 30 years ago, FMLN was founded, and CISPIS was the American wing, and now FMLN is in power. Do you still see a need for CISPIS?
Well, even though I wasn't born 30 years ago, I mean, I think that there's always going to be a need for CISPIS. I mean, I think it's a perfect example or a perfect way to understand the relationship between CISPIS and El Salvador. It's just that, yes, the FMLN, you know, was a guerrilla movement turned political party that's now, you know, in government power, but I think that, you know, it's a transition government, and there are still a lot of kinks that are being worked out. And I think essentially what CISPIS provides, it's kind of a international kind of like watchdog. You know, it makes sure that the citizens of the United States are holding government officials accountable for what they do and for what they don't do. And I think that that's always going to be necessary. Even if it's not specifically geared towards El Salvador, but to other sister countries in Latin America and in the rest of the world. But for the purposes of CIS, you know, honoring CISPIS's roots and origins of being in solidarity with the people of El Salvador, I think that it's always going to be necessary for, especially considering the long intertwined relationship that the U.S. has had with El Salvador, that there's always going to be a need for a wing of the U.S. social movement to be in solidarity with the Salvadorian social movement, which includes the FMLN, because the people that are militants of the FMLN are people that are from the pueblo. And so because of that, there's always going to be a need for solidarity. There's always going to be a need for support. And there's always going to be a need for accountability. And that is applicable to both the United States and El Salvador, because El Salvador is a country that has been ruled by a very corrupt government, a party, ARENA, for a really long time. And it's going to take a long time to fix that. And CISPIS is going to be an integral part of that, will continue to be an integral part of that, to keep the new government aware that just as much pressure as they're receiving from the U.S. government to continue in the same path that ARENA was going in, that they also have support from the social movement, from the people of the United States, to do the right thing and to form a real alternative and to make fundamental change. And I think that that's always going to be necessary in guiding any government body to do the right thing by its people and to make sovereign decisions that are not influenced by outside players.
Sonia Umansor, I want to get your final thoughts, and if I'm not clear on this question, Rosa, maybe you can help translate it. Earlier, you mentioned that had you not, when you came to the U.S., you were grateful for CISPIS because you learned that Americans were not necessarily supportive of the foreign policy that was hurting the people of El Salvador. Today, that is, there are many people throughout the world who that is their only knowledge of America. Can you just talk about the difference between Americans and American foreign policy?
I think I feel very lucky because I came here and people like CISPIS, and I met so many. I'm one of the privileged Salvadorians that because I feel that I met through these 30 years of work, I met the different generations of CISPIS, and I've been I have a greatest respect and for the people who has been working, and it's really sad that the only thing that is known in outside the world is that the U.S. is hurting. Because it's true. I mean, the government is doing that. But also, they need to know that it's the greatest people here who is opposed to, strongly opposed to that damage that this government is causing to the people around the world. And I don't know in which way we can do something about it, but maybe, you know, making people around the world know how much strong the U.S. people is working against these policies. I don't know, but for me it has been really important to know that how I mean, the other day I was in the GW University and they told me. But the way how I was talking about how much suffering we have been having, and a lady told me, "But you look very, very healthy, but spiritually and your soul look like very, you know, very como me dijo, pure, very pure." And I said, "Well, in part, in great part, was because." I met people here in U.S. who work, you know, besides me, even more than me, because I saw them risking their life. It's not only going to a protest, but risking their life, going to places where I couldn't go, doing things that I couldn't do. I mean, it's that gave me back my faith and gave me back my soul. I mean, in some way, people from the United States saved my life. Yeah.
Thank you guys so much. No cambiaré, me entiendes, no cambiaré. Y sería lo mismo si volviera a nacer. Que me gustan los frijoles, frijolero seré. Pues limones me mandaron, limonadas te daré. Con espalda bien mojada, los mares me crucé. Jamás te he robado nada, así que para de joder. There's no way you will change me. Stop wasting your time. I believe in my culture. We'll forever survive. No, 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 no,